You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hey there, hi there, holder. It's another blisteringly warm Friday night. Martin Bruda here for Hey Kids Comics and
Dan Collins.
And I'm Sam Tweedle.
Chris Gilpin.
Oh my goodness, we got a full house here today.
Four man show.
Well, you know, I think there was a little bit of confusion. Who was supposed to show up, so we all showed up.
No, there wasn't a little bit of confusion. There was a lot of confusion.
A lot of confusion. It was actually pretty funny. Before the show, me and Marty, we got off work a little early, so we decided we'd be like wild and crazy guys, and we decided to try to do a CBA run before the show, and we did it. We did it, but then we decided to stop for dinner, which maybe we shouldn't have done, and there was a little while there where we didn't think we might make it on time, so I'm texting Dan Collins, and yeah, we're going to be late.
I'm just glad for that one Audi that was doing 136 down the 115. So I was doing 135 behind him so I wouldn't get a ticket. Yeah, it worked out.
Yeah, because we saw him getting a ticket.
It worked out.
On the highway. And I kept sending Dan text with cat smiley faces.
And a cat cry face.
Cry face. That was an accident. It's because I'm blind, so I couldn't tell what the cats were doing But Dan, he didn't realize Chris was going to be here.
Did Chris? I thought Chris had said he wasn't going to come.
Yeah, I put it right on that post. I'm in and Martin's out, or maybe the other way around.
Yeah.
Me
and Chris
Marty
aren't saying anything about it because I think he and I are the ones that caused all that confusion.
Now, Marty knew he wasn't coming, but then once he got here, it was like, why would we make him leave? Marty's awesome.
That's right.
Yep. Stunned silence in the room. That's awesome.
I think what it is me and Chris have this weird mic thing going on here. So Chris can pull the mic away from me at any point tonight.
I think that has to be the new rule going forward.
Oh, is that
the mic can just get pulled away?
There you go.
And we got
the fans going here in the studio, so it's a little bit noisier than normal.
Not the good kind of fans, you know, like, ah, oh, you guys are awesome.
We've got a lot of comic fans in the studio, though.
All right, what'd you read?
I only read one book this week, which was the Fifth Beetle. I don't have it in front of me. I don't know who said it. It's a Dark Horse comic.
Is that book about Yoko Ono?
No, it's the it's a book about Brian Epstein.
Who the heck is Brian Epstein? Wasn't he like the drummer?
No.
Who's the drummer before Ringo?
That was
Pete Best.
Wasn't he the fifth drum Beatle?
No, apparently they say it was. John Lennon once had a quote saying, if there was a fifth Beatle, it would be Brian Epstein.
Well, I think it's Ringo, because obviously this Pete Best was the fourth, so Ringo's the fifth.
Where does Stu Sutcliffe come in?
There you go, see? So Ringo's the sixth.
Anyway.
And which one's George Martin? Seventh? The seventh Beatle?
Maybe, who? I don't know. George Martin.
Who's George
Martin?
The
guy Martin? Who produced all their albums.
I thought he did like Game of Thrones.
We're so punny tonight. Anyways, that was a good pun. I like that. Anyway, I read The Fifth Beetle, which is, I believe it was put out by, I don't think, did Dark Horse? Dark Horse
you
put
said
that
Dark
one
Horse
out.
Earlier.
It was Dark Horse put that, and it's the story of Brian Epstein, who was the man who basically discovered and became the manager of the Beatles. He also had the creative control, so the Beatles, both public, their public personas, their style, he basically created that and kind of ironed all that out. The book also dealt with Brian's homosexuality in an era where being gay in England was a criminal offense. You could go to prison for being gay in England during that time. So they also wrote a lot about that. It's a pretty good book, very well researched, but I found it also kind of a little, sometimes a little cartoony and a little too comical compared to, and also unrealistic compared to the John Lennon one that I read, we talked about a few weeks ago, that IDW did, the Lennon, the New York years. It was the Lennon one that I enjoyed it so much, it made me pick up the Fifth Beatle. But, you know, as a set, they're both amazing comic books on the Beatles. And maybe I'm going through this little Beatles renaissance right now, where I'm reading up on them. But for if you're just a music fan in general, or a comic fan, or you like 60s culture, these are like two great books to be buying right now that are on the market. So, also, I read, now, the Fifth Beatle's been out for over a year now, but, I mean, it was on the New York Times bestseller list. It was one of Time Magazine's...
They don't do the New York Times graphic novel bestseller list anymore.
No, they just put the comics on the bestseller list, as if they're just a book. Yeah. And it was also one of Time Magazine's top 100 books of the year.
Graphic novel.
So yeah, it's a really good book. But that's the only book I read this week.
It's a graphic
novel. Even though I do have a stack of comics in front of me. These are the books I bought today. I've read none of them.
Sam's not wearing headphones, so he doesn't know I'm talking.
The one that I was a little shocked about, Betty and Veronica, number 3 by Adam Hughes, finally came out today. 6 months late, but a year and a half earlier than I expected it. So good going. But as Alex at CBA pointed out, at the end of the book, it says the end. Does that mean this is Adam Hughes' final issue? Well, you know, if they ever want to put Betty and Veronica out on time, yeah, maybe this should be Adam Hughes' final issue. But anyways.
Well, when was how long has it been, issue 1 through 3?
At least a year or more.
Because it was announced almost the same time that the Archie was, and they're at issue 22 now, right?
Yeah.
So 22 months?
Something like that.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's crazy.
22 months.
What were they even thinking, really?
Speaking of late Archies, is Afterlife with Archie still a thing, or should I just give up on it?
Oh, no, that's late, too.
Yeah, months.
Well, that was like that Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. I really dig that, but it was like almost 6 months between issues for a little while.
It still is. Sabrina, there is 2 issues of Sabrina coming up, apparently, but we'll see. I love that book, but yeah. We'll see. So what the rest of you guys read?
I understand Dan here read something.
Did I read something?
You said apparently on the book face that you read something.
I did actually read some comics this week.
Excellent.
I went to CBA and picked up my comics.
All right.
Read Fist Bump. Read the new Walking Dead. I read.
What'd you think?
I thought it was good. Nothing happened in the issue, except for. The whole point of the issue, though, is that nothing happens.
Well, you know what? Negan.
Negan was just.
How does that character get
so
more
awesome?
How does Negan get more and more complicated in every book? I can't figure that guy out at all.
My assumption is that he's going to do something bad soon.
Because he's becoming so awesome?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's sneaking his way in and he's just going to.
And Rick trusts him now.
Yeah.
Because in this issue, it shows Rick sort of giving him a little bit of leeway to do something.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I figured if he was going to do something, this was a time where he could have done it. When I looked at that cover, I figured, oh, no, Negan's doing something. But he did do something. He just confused the hell out of me. That's what he did.
I think it would have been too obvious. Like the door was right there for him to take it and he didn't. Nope. You know, so I think it's going to be more of a surprise.
Is it me, or has Negan just become the best character ever in Walking Dead?
He's probably been the best character for a while.
Yeah, he's just such a great character. I hate him. God, I hate him. But I just want to read Negan all the time. I'm hoping that book... I read some of the origin story in the books, but not. I can't get my hands on him all the time. I really hope they collect that as a trade.
I really would be surprised if they didn't.
Yeah.
Because, otherwise it's going to be a really hard-to-get story.
Yeah, I have the first volume. I have the first chapter and a few others, but they're so hard to find those books. And they're free, but maybe that's why they're hard to find them.
Well, I don't think they're free anymore.
Oh, so
I think
I've
they were
been,
free for the first few
Oh, so I've just
issues.
Been taking them.
Then. It's possible.
I've just been stealing
them. Because I've been charged $2, so...
Oh, wow.
Come on.
I walk out of the store with them. So
if you're listening, CBA,
Oh, I've never taken them from CVA.
Sam owes you $6.
I don't see them at CVA. So anyways, Walking Dead.
So yeah, I read that. And yeah, I thought that was a good issue, you know, because like the last issue was Andrea's death, right? Mm-hmm. And then this one. And also Rick killed that girl, Sherry.
Sherry.
And so that was the big issue. Like, it was like, oh, something's going to happen. But instead, Negan, you know, steps up and keeps things from happening, which
think,
was...
Do you think Dwight might still do something crazy?
I don't... I wouldn't say no, but I don't think so. Okay, I think there was, like, a moment that they had where he was like, I'm still mad at you, but I'm not going to do anything about it.
What do you think?
I think of the saviors, Dwight and Negan are the only ones that are letting Rick do what he needs to do. Even though, you know, I mean, he didn't kill Sherry. Like, he did, but it was in self-defense.
Right.
So, but I did have one question. When Negan said, okay, he wants to do this, let's join, let's revolt. And that one guy.
Yeah.
With the burnt head, that wasn't Dwight.
No.
Who was that?
I don't know.
It was Dwight Light.
Dwight Light. Did they say his name was like William or Will or something?
But can we assume that that was the guy from the TV show? Remember the other guy that he burned? Because that would be like a character we've never really seen before from the show now in the comic.
Well, I got the impression that from the TV show anyways, that burning of the face with the iron was a standard practice for violating the rules. So
yeah,
to say that it is specifically that guy.
I was going to look up the character's name, but it was just weird that in the book, I don't think we've ever seen anybody else with a burnt face.
Only Dwight.
And then all of a sudden, there's another guy who we saw get it done to him. So I thought that was pretty weird. But yeah.
I also read, because I did read lots of comics this week, I read the one in the pile here, The Dark Days, The Forge.
Yeah, I think Marty wanted to talk about that too. Which, I haven't read that yet. Maybe we can. But I got it here.
Maybe me and Marty can talk about that.
Yeah.
And Sam can plug his ears for any spoilers.
I don't care about spoilers. Chris on the
Have you read that one, Chris?
No, all the spoilers are on Facebook, so.
Well, what's the spoilers though? Like,
okay,
I got the actual spoilers.
Do we even want to get into this debate? Because it'll take up the whole show.
Okay, so apparently Mr. Terrific is in it, and since we now know that, that's a spoiler.
There you go.
But it's just kind of like saying that. But in my opinion, it's like saying, oh, well, Superman's in Action Comics. Oh, don't tell me Superman's in Action Comics. That's a spoiler.
But this isn't.
In my personal philosophy, and it may differ from someone else here on the table, not mentioning names. But if it was in a DC Comics press release, it's not a spoiler. Okay. If it was actually released by DC Comics ahead of time and either picked up or not picked up by news agencies and previews and stuff, it's not a spoiler. Everybody knows that the whole Dark Metal series thing is all about Nth Metal. I
didn't know that, but I don't care.
I didn't know that either.
Well, it's in the press release. It's in, you know, Jeff Johns was talking about it. Scott Schneider was talking about it. They don't make any kind of hidden, like, it's not. It was revealed in official press releases before this comic came out.
Sometimes spoilers are good. Look at Stephanie Brown.
They also talked about Mr. Terrific, being in the comic. Now, some of the stuff that they didn't talk about, we haven't said anything about. Like that one picture I posted of Batman and Mr. Fantastic. That's like
Mr. Terrific, dude.
Yes, Mr. Terrific. That's one small picture out of this entire big, huge panel reveal in it. So,
very big reveal.
For me, anyways, this book is hitting a shite ton of nostalgia. Like, it's talking about, you know, obviously because of the Nth Metal, Carter Hall's talked about in it. Mr. Terrific's back, so that's a Justice Society of America hint that might be coming. Batman, you know, there's a couple of other panels in there that were really cool as far as, you know, callbacks to previous characters. It was almost like when Wild Dog showed up in Cave Carson.
That was so cool.
You know, we're reading Cave Carson, and all of a sudden, there's Wild Dog. It's like, what? Totally unexpected, and I dug it. I thought it was great.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was super fantastic.
Yeah,
but I'm not as immersed in the comics right now.
And the other thing is it's an introductory prelude. It's a prelude to a prelude.
It's a tease of a story.
Because there's going to be another one coming. So unless you're digging on the whole, you know, like I said, Hawkman, right? Because of Nth Metal. Unless you're digging on the Hawkman, you're going to miss half this comic book. Because half this comic book is Hawkman talking about being Hawkman.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I didn't like about the comic is every single little section is drawn by somebody else. So that I found that a little bit jarring. You know, Junior's in here, and he's not.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of his stuff at the moment.
I actually noticed as soon as he started drawing.
Yeah. And of course,
there's a big spoiler.
There's a big spoiler at the end. Mr. Miracle, we know that Mr. Miracle comic book is coming, right? They've already announced the Mr. Miracle series. So Mr. Miracle makes a quick guest appearance in this. So that's, you know, that's not really a spoiler. But the last page and definitely this page in the middle are big, massive spoilers.
I had no interest in this book originally or this crossover or any of that jazz. But when people started putting up spoilers on Facebook.
Truckers?
No,
that was what made me buy the book. I wouldn't have bought this book until I saw those spoilers. And it was like, oh, this stuff's happening. Okay, I'm going to buy this book.
The spoiler that... What are the spoilers that were shared on Facebook?
I don't know about anybody else, but...
Because I didn't see anything.
The only thing that I did was I mentioned the Nth Metal, Hawkman. I didn't even say Hawkman. I just said, well, Nth Metal's involved, so you know somebody's involved. And the picture with Mr. Fantastic. That's it.
Terrific.
Mr. Terrific. I don't know why I keep doing that. But I don't know. Like, was there anything really big, massive leaked on?
I don't know. I don't know much about it.
Chris?
I don't think so.
The only spoilers I saw were from Martin.
Okay.
Ooh.
Him's fighting.
Do you know Mr. Terrific, I think, has one of the worst superpowers of all time? Basically, he is the third smartest man in the world.
Well, who's number one and two?
And all he can do is get into locked rooms.
That's my problem. It's like, well, he's just third.
Is Mr. Fantastic first because he comes first in the alphabet over Mr. Terrific?
I don't know. I don't know who number one is.
Because Reed Richards is smart, right?
And also, how do you find out who the third smartest man in the world is? Like, how do you measure that?
I think they sit around in the back room measuring Mensa scores.
Like they probably do.
Yeah, but that's
like people measuring CGC registry scores.
But I just think that the fact that DC put that out, that he's the third smartest man in the world, and that's canon. He's third smartest man. Well, who are the first two? And that doesn't make him good enough. He's third smartest. Well, he's not the first. He's not even the second.
Hey, he stands on the podium. He gets a medal. Third's
good.
He does.
Third, yeah, I guess.
He's not fourth. He's not fourth looking at him going, if it wasn't for those steroids.
But, if he bumped off the first two, he would now be the smartest man. So why
but
is he a good
they're
guy?
Smarter than him, so they see it coming.
Right. Who do you think the first smartest is?
I told you, Mr. Fantastic.
I don't know. Do you think it's Batman?
No. Fantastic.
Dr. Savannah?
No.
Doc Lex Luthor?
No. You're talking about people that get beat up all the time. So no, neither of those two.
Batman doesn't get beat up.
The other two. They always get defeated, so they can't be smart.
Batman, nobody beats Batman.
Sure they do.
Except for that time that Bane broke his back. Anyway.
And Catwoman put a ring on his finger.
Yeah, and so now he's tamed.
Yeah.
But reading at the very end of the Dark Days, The Forge, there's a little thing with Scott Snyder talking about this plan he had for Batman ever since Court of Owls that goes all the way up to this.
Okay.
So, like you said, you can see hints and stuff back there.
He said the same thing about when James Gordon became Batman in the robot suit.
Oh God, I forgot about that.
He was saying the same thing about that.
It's probably because I wanted to forget about that.
They were we pitched this idea to DC. It's so strange and radical, and if they do it, that's great. If not, we're dropping the book.
I remember Scott Snyder saying that it was the thing that was either going to be really, really popular or it was going to be really, really hated and he'd be fired.
Well, he didn't get fired.
He didn't get fired, but it was hated.
I never read it.
Yeah.
What did you think of Big Hero 6 Batman?
It was certainly very different and hard to take, I guess. I didn't mind it. To me, Jim Gordon's an old guy, so to put him in a suit and out there, but they portray him as a lot younger.
They did, yeah. Right?
So that's what kind of got it for me was his age.
The biggest problem I had is that they shaved off his mustache.
Yeah.
And they just did that to make him look like the Gotham Jim Gordon.
I think they did that to make him look younger.
Well, that was dumb.
So he's more energetic.
Commissioner Gordon has a mustache. hands down, that's it.
And Jimmy Olsen wears a bow tie.
That's right. And he's a redheaded Irish kid with freckles.
There you go.
That's right.
Not like the other redheaded freckled kid in the studio.
What kid's that?
Me. another thing that I read this week was Manifest Destiny.
What'd you think of that? I was looking at that on the shelf today.
So, like, I bought the first trade off of Chris at the Quinty Toy Con. And basically, as Chris knows, I was walking around that place looking to spend my money. And I just couldn't find anything that was, like, the right price or that I wanted to read. So I was walking around and walking around. And then eventually I was like, I'm just going to take this Manifest Destiny trade. It was the first 6 issues. And so, like, the premise of it was that it's Lewis and Clark on their westward adventure, except there's monsters, and they're actually tasked by the president to clear the land of monsters.
That sounds pretty awesome.
And, like, I just devoured the first trade, and so I'm definitely going to read more. I really liked it.
Cool.
And I remember, like, a year or two ago, it was, like, the hot book. And the first issue is still, like, going for, like, $50 on eBay. So... But, yeah,
I really liked it. Because I think I might own that.
That's, yeah.
Because I read the first 1 or 2 issues, and I thought it was pretty good, but for whatever reason, I wasn't in an Image mood at that time. So I know I didn't keep up with the series.
Yeah. And then I read one final comic, unless Chris has something to say on that.
Well, I just wanted to expand that a little bit, a little more detail. So Mr. Collins goes to a toy/comic show.
Yes.
With the wife and daughter, right?
Yes.
They get there. The wife and daughter say, okay, have fun. And he goes off by himself. And you were there for how long?
3 to 4 hours.
3 to 4 hours walking around a toy/comic show with money. And he can't find anything to buy.
Nothing that I wanted to pay the price for.
That is a rare trait, Dan.
Well, like, there's just nothing that, like, I was looking for specific stuff, and it was all either too expensive or they didn't have it.
You're probably just a lot smarter than us. That's the thing.
No.
We just grab everything we see.
But
you think about it more than we do.
You guys had bought everything already before I got there.
We bought everything. I wasn't there. I didn't go.
Chris and Chris Ellis and I don't know, some other people.
There was a big group of you guys there? Stuff.
Well, I was selling stuff and there was other people there. But I went up to one vendor before the show started and he had 2 copies of New Mutants, the graphic novel. And I hemmed and hawed. And one was 40 and the other one was 90, which the 90 one was beat up. But anyways, I passed on them. Doors open. Within 10 minutes, Ellis comes up and he's got the $40 New Mutants graphic novel. It's like, jeez. You snooze, you lose.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And I read one more comic this week.
All right.
And that was Jimmy's Bastards.
Hey! Oh, I got that right here, man.
So, awesome. And yeah.
Yeah, so what did you think?
I thought it was pretty good. Like, I'm definitely... I picked it up because we were talking about it on the show before. Yeah.
Marty did a review of it.
Yeah, and, you know, knowing the premise... I was like, yeah, I'm going to read this. And it was good. It's a setup book because it's number one. But yeah, I'm definitely going to read more. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, CBA gave me the variant cover.
I have that cover too.
And I wanted the regular cover and there was no shelf copies. And then we went to Worlds Collide and they had the regular cover. But by that point, I'd already bought it and I didn't want to buy a second copy. So
I actually haven't seen it in color yet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the review copy was black and white.
I said, Aftershock's really doing some really interesting stuff right now, and we'll see. I love Garth Ennis, and I just think, I love the premise, I love the fact Ennis is writing it, and I'm excited to see what he does. But otherwise, I have no opinion yet, because I haven't even looked at it. I just what's in front of me. Is that a monkey in a clown suit?
Yeah.
Yes.
That is
holding
a
human face.
Yeah, that is a monkey in a clown suit. Yes. Yes.
So yeah, that's, it's not James Bond.
But Jimmy Regent.
Jimmy Regent, and the premise is that, you know, every time you saw the other JB, he was always, you know, how do you say this without being
shag?
Well, I was gonna say shacking up.
Yeah, he was always hooking up with the ladies at the end, and Q and M were always interrupting him, and they're like, "Oh, James," So the premise of the book is what happens to all these illegitimate children that James had, and how upset are they with daddy issues and stuff. So they all form a big, huge cult that goes after and tries to kill their dad.
That's very big cult.
Yeah, big,
like the last page.
Cult.
Yeah, there is a lot of these.
Like
guys.
Will Chamberlain was going, "Whoa, dude."
Yeah,
I was reading up on Stevie Wonder yesterday.
Yeah.
And did you know Stevie Wonder had 9 children with 5 different women?
Sure, why not? Stevie was the man.
He was the man.
He was the man.
I was listening to Stevie Wonder. I realized I didn't know anything really about him. And that, to me, was the most surprising thing I found out about Stevie Wonder.
You know what everybody really, really liked about Stevie Wonder?
What?
He'd always call back. Oh, I just called to say I love you.
Yeah. Yeah. He couldn't see any of them, though.
That's okay.
Okay. Anyway.
Chicks dig scars.
All right. Did you read anything?
Yeah. What did I read?
Comics.
Dark Days.
Yes, Dark Days. Detective with yep. the not-so-spoilery review of Zatanna being in the last page because she's in the solicitations for like the next few issues.
That's right.
I haven't read it yet, so that was a spoiler.
Jesus. That's the reason I'm collecting Detective now, Chris.
Jesus.
I've known for months this was going to happen, and I added Detective just because I knew this was going to happen. Also, Chris, just in case you don't know, Zatanna's going to be in Trinity as well.
Spoilers.
I didn't know that.
I also got turned on to a new Kickstarter.
Okay.
From a couple of guys in the Hamilton area, Hamilton-Milton area. It's called Spellbound, and it's a... The basic premise is... without getting into copyright violation, Magic the Gathering cards and that entire universe, what happens if a kid actually gets dropped into that universe?
Oh.
So you got the wizards and the warriors and all this stuff, like the real life, not the cards, like real life wizards and warriors and a young kid doing the whole, it's a couple of kids, but doing the whole Dorothy Land of Oz type thing.
But they probably lack social skills, right?
Well, I have no idea. That's usually magic kids. But I talked to Jeff, the writer. Just trying to see here because I just posted this at the restaurant on our way here. Jeff Graham, he's the creator, writer, and anchor. And I did a quick little interview with him on First Comics News about the comic book and the idea, the concept, the Kickstarter. So it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Our buddy Harry Sully, Niagara, he saw art at the Niagara Comic Con for this book, and he says it's outstanding, it's really good, so I'm looking forward to seeing that.
What about you, Chris? What'd you read?
I read Martin's spoilers. I'm not going to kick this too much, but I don't read a lot of previews or news.
Yeah, but you
like
do. You're
surprised.
Lying because you look at your news sites for this show.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, but what?
Here's a nice... See, if I read all the previews and all the news stories, what's the point of reading the comic?
Yeah, but you do read the news stories because you're looking for news for the radio show.
To quote The Lost Boys.
Oh, God.
Sam says to his grandfather, wait, so you have a TV? And what does Grandpa say? No, I just like to read the TV guide. Read the TV guide. You don't need a TV.
Jesus.
Anyways.
See, the way I look at it is, as I said, like, what made me buy this Dark Knight Dark Days Forge? Because I saw some stuff that interested me, because I found out about it. Why am I buying Detective? Because I know, because of the previews, that Tana's going to be in. Otherwise, I wouldn't be buying this book.
Yeah,
it does help sell comics.
It certainly does. Like, so last week, the whole Batman, Catwoman, was that last week or this week?
Yeah, but that's different because, like I said, at no point in time did they say in the press releases. So that was privileged information that you would only get if you read the comic.
So where did CBR get it the day before?
Because all the comic books show up the day before for review copies and stuff.
Right.
And the writers and artists get copies early. And like my review copies for First Comics News, they show up on the Sunday.
Yeah.
So I know good 5 days, like oh, not five, but 3 or 4 days. I can read the comics and then spread all the gossip all over the place and leak it, you know.
So
I'm not supposed to. There's an NDA and stuff that you sign. But
yeah.
So if it's something that the only way you could have got it was if you read the comic book, that's a huge whole nother different ballgame than too much information being distributed in the trailers, too much information being distributed in the press releases.
To me, that's the same ballgame.
But it isn't. It isn't. Like, if Coke says...
Your assumption is that everybody's read the pressers.
No, my assumption is that if that information's been made public, well, then it's made public. So that's not right. my fault for breaking some sort of an agreement and making it more public.
So as soon as the comic book's out on Wednesday or a new movie's out on Friday, people can just start putting spoilers out because it's made public.
No, because this stuff was put out weeks in advance, months in advance. Anyways. Some of those articles I posted that that information was in were from March. Like, this stuff has been discussed, like, months and months and months.
So, to Sam's point, when the whole debate about the proposal was going on, the one guy's argument was, well, I saw the spoiler, and it was the only reason why I went out and bought the book.
Yeah, right? But that's, so that's because he's just a speculator. That's not for enjoying the story. Yeah. That's just a speculator running out. Like, how many times did we, like, X-Men Gold's a perfect example, right? If we had known a little bit ahead of time what was in it, we probably would have bought extra copies.
Right.
So I got no respect for the speculator market anymore. I mean, that's him, but, you know.
I just like to read comics and be surprised.
You will be. There's like three major reveals in the comic that have not been talked about, have not been distributed as in the previews, has not been discussed in a DC press release, and they're in there. They're massive. They're like whole pages. Like that one picture of Batman and Mr. Terrific, that's like 10% of the whole page.
Yeah.
And the rest of the page is the spoiler.
And it's actually pretty epic what it is. Marty actually sent me the whole page. Because he knows I don't care about spoilers. Actually, the reason I bought this Dark Days, The Forge, really wasn't even because of spoilers. Because Marty also sent me the final page of Detective Comics, and I thought that page was in Dark Days of Forge.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, I better buy that then.
Sam's been talking for the past month or so. I'm picking up Detective Comics because Zatanna's going to be in it. I'm picking up the comics because Zatanna's going to be in it. And of course, she appears in the last page of this episode. But again, it's not a surprise to anybody because
we knew.
You buy your comics 3 months in advance, so you know that what's coming up in those 3 months. Otherwise, why are you buying it? Like, how do you know what you want?
I'm buying it because I just want to read it.
Yeah, why?
Like, I didn't know that Zatanna was going to be in the comic until Sam mentioned it last week.
But isn't it awesome that she is?
It is awesome, but I had no idea.
Yeah, but DC made that information public to let everybody know that this character was coming into this book and you know, so to drum up sales.
Well, you know, guys, I don't think this is... I think this is a debate that... We could battle on forever. I mean, this show is a whole series, but I don't want to change topics, but I'm totally going to.
One last thing. Zatanna is a perfect example. Where have the days gone where you would pick up Detective and you're reading it and you get to the last page? It's like, holy crap, Zatanna's in this issue.
That's going
to
happen.
But now...
1989, when the internet became public.
But now, exactly. So
like
now...
You're talking about discussion boards. Even back then, we were getting DC previews, like the... what did they call it? DC Currents, right? The little pamphlet that you got 3 months in advance, and it had a little blurb on what was coming up in 3 months so that you could decide whether you wanted that book or not.
So you would rather go, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, this is the issue where she's at because I read about it 3 months ago. As opposed to saying, holy crap, I just got the last page and Zatanna's in this issue. I have no idea.
Holy crap, Zatanna's in the issue. I really want all the detectives now that Zatanna's in. Oh, I can't get the next three because you have to pre-order 3 months in advance. And the comic store's giving me grief over not pre-ordering it. And because nobody pre-ordered the next three issues, they canceled the whole series because nobody was interested. Yeah, that's a good alternative. That's a great alternative.
Wow, times have changed.
No, times haven't changed. Oh, you're talking about something that's 30 years
guys,
ago.
Guys, we're running out of
30
time,
years
we have
ago.
Something so good to talk about.
All right, go. Launch.
All right. And I'm so sorry, guys, but last night in Los Angeles, the bat signal was beamed onto the old Los Angeles City Hall. And what a lot of people might know is that old Los Angeles City Hall was what the building that was used for the police headquarters for the Batman 66 TV series. And of course, the reason that they did this was in memory of, I think, a man that generations of people just love for different reasons, Adam West, who passed away last week at, was it age? Anybody know? Was it 78?
No, I think he was in his 80s. 88?
Was he 88?
80.
Batman 66 was Batman 88. But I really would like it. I really think, you know, we should spend some of the show, instead of arguing about spoilers, to talk about our feelings and our memories of Adam West. Because, you know, I love the fact going on the internet this week that, there, you know, I remember a time where everybody just made fun of Adam West like he was a big loser because they were all in love with the new Batman movies. But the outpouring of love from the fan base for Adam West was just phenomenal. Just phenomenal. And I was hoping we could all talk about Adam West and what he meant to us personally as fans, be it as Batman fans or comic fans or whatever Batman he did. So I definitely have some stuff I want to say, but I'm going to let you guys go first.
Well, I'll go first then, okay. Because as the youngest guy here, I wasn't as exposed as you guys might have been to Adam West's Batman. But, like, the TV show used to be on at, like, 4 o'clock every day when I'd get home from school. When I was, like, 7, and I would watch it at, like, you know, 7 o'clock or 4 o'clock. And it was great. I enjoyed it. And, you know, I never met Adam West. I never did anything cool. But, like, you know, it's his personality and the fact that he didn't take himself so seriously. You know, like, I was discussing it in the car with my wife and I said, you know, the world has too many William Shatners and not enough Adam Wests.
Oh, wow, that's quotable. I like that. I like that.
I loved watching Batman when I was younger. It's a huge part of my childhood, for sure. Like, that show, it's just no way to describe it without watching it. Because it was just awesome. It was truly an awesome show. And, it's very sad, but just recently, I know you're not a big fan of The Big Bang Theory, but okay. He appeared there as himself.
I actually watched that clip this week, and I thought it was wonderful. I absolutely love that clip.
Yeah, with him at the birthday party. Yeah,
he said some really really profound stuff during that clip that that hit me hard, even. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Sherman. I'm still getting paid, right? he did the time on Family Guy, right, as the mayor. He's just part of our life growing up, and it's really sad to lose him.
I think my favorite line from The Big Bang Theory is when they're in the car and he says, what did he say? He says, I didn't have to go in and say I'm Batman. Everybody knew I was Batman.
Exactly, yeah. Barton, you're up.
Hmm?
Batman.
Adam West.
What can you say? He's gone. It sucks. Massively.
That's all you have?
That's all I got, man.
Oh.
Well. I don't do death things well. I get verklempt and shit. Okay.
All right. Well, I got a few things to say about Adam West. Now, the first thing, and I think this is the biggest impact Adam West had in my life, is when I was a kid. I mean, I had comic books. I knew what comics was. But one night, I was in about the third grade. And on City TV, they ran the Batman 66 movie. And I'd seen Adam West and Burt Ward and whatever. Somewhere in my collective subconscious, I'd seen them before. But that was the time I really first was able to watch something with these two characters. And the movie, for all its faults, as me being in the third... Well, how old are you when you're in the third grade? How old are you? You're
seven or eight.
So I'm about 7, 8 years old. I'm watching this movie. This would have been about 1983. And it just captured my imagination. It just captured me. I thought it was so great. And the next day I said to my dad, I said, Dad, I want to go get a Batman comic. I want to go buy me a Batman comic. So we went to this Becker store, which was right across the street from the gas station Marty's dad used to run. Small World, and I got a Batman comic, and that was the book that actually started me comic collecting seriously. And the book is now actually framed in my office, the original issue, all banged up, and because of course it got beat up to heck, right? And it was watching the Batman, Adam West Batman film. That was it. I'm a weirdo who doesn't like Batman movies as a general rule, So Adam West is probably the only Batman I truly ever really enjoyed watching. It's not the Batman I want to read, but he's so fun and so colorful. But for me, I did meet Adam West briefly. I wouldn't say I met him. I was at an autograph show and I went up. And the thing I remember, and it's, I thought it was so great when he died because everybody started talking about this. The guy was just goofy. He had this weird screwball sense of humor, but he wasn't like zany like Robin Williams. Like, it was this dry, odd sense of humor. He was like a David Lynch character, is kind of what he was like. And I just remember this odd. And I also remember that it was $50 for his autograph, but it was $70 for an autograph picture of him as Batman. Yeah. You know, like, they charge you an extra $20. But this is my favorite Adam West story. It's a horrible Adam West story and a great Adam West story at the same time. I was able to ask Adam West a question at a panel. And there was one thing that fascinated me about Adam West. And he is probably the only actor ever who did a movie with the Three Stooges, which was the Western. I can't remember what it was called. But there's a Western. It's a takeoff on The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, where Adam West is the Jimmy Stewart role. And the Three Stooges are in it. And he also did an episode of Batman with Bruce Lee. So he's worked with Bruce Lee and the Three Stooges, which I think is, like, how many people are you going to meet that can say they even worked with any of these guys? So I asked him about that, and he told the Three Stooges story, which I'm going to skip for the point of my story. But he started talking about Bruce Lee, and there's this famous story about the episode of Batman with Bruce Lee where Burt Ward would strut around, and he always talked about how he's a big, tough guy that did martial arts and how big and cool and everything he was. And of course, everybody knew he wasn't, you know, like, Burt Ward is kind of lame. And what happened is that a lot of people on the set of Batman famously did not like Burt Ward. Even Adam West and Burt Ward had a bit of a feud for a while there. And I guess he was saying that, you know, he wasn't scared of Bruce Lee and, you know, it wasn't going to be a big deal. Well, the day that Bruce Lee comes on set as Kato, he had gotten word that, you know, Burt Ward was sort of trash talking him. So he got all real quiet and real silent, you know, and was going into his, like, human meditation stuff and whatever. And Burt Ward got really, really nervous. You know, he's like, you know, this isn't real. This isn't real, buddy, right? Well, the moment that the director said, you know, and roll, Bruce Lee turned around and he, like, snapped a ball, you know, like a plank of wood, you know, on his head. And Burt Ward, like, almost fainted, and everybody laughed and everything. And he was just, you know, scared. So Adam West tells this story, you know, and this was at Fan Expo. Well, 3 years later, Adam West and Burt Ward, along with Julie Newmar, are at Fan Expo together. And I get another question. And this time, I ask Burt Ward, Burt, there's a famous story about you and Bruce Lee and about, you know, working together. I was wondering if you could tell us the story. And Adam West is sitting there on stage with him. 3 years earlier, he's talking about how Burt Ward was, like, you know, nearly, you know, shat himself for, you know. And so Burt Ward's like, yeah, well, you know, it's not really what everybody says. Me and Bruce Lee, we were like best friends. We used to work out together. We used to train together. We used to do kung fu together. You know, it's highly over-exaggerated, but Bruce, he was like the soul. He was the soul of me. And I'm like, huh, that's not what Adam West said 3 years ago. And Adam West is just sitting there on the stage, looking straight ahead, not saying anything, just taking it all in, you know? And I'm like, so I don't know what my point is, but I'm saying, is Adam West, I don't know, did he lie to me? I don't know what he did. Someone lied to me, and I'm putting my dibs on Burt Ward. But
and the room went silent, and all you could hear was, damn you, Tweedle.
But anyways, I just thought he was a funny, odd guy. And he was, let's face it, he was my favorite Batman. He was my favorite Batman. And I mean, he was such a part of my childhood. And he's the reason I collect comics in a lot of ways.
Do you remember the old Global TV late night movie and they had the popcorn song?
Yeah.
That's actually where I saw the Batman 66 movie first. I couldn't sleep and I got up in the middle of the night and I went downstairs and turned on the TV when my parents weren't paying attention, and that came on. And I'm like, all right, let's see what movie comes on. And then it was the Batman 66 movie, and I was like, first time I had ever realized that the TV show had a movie.
Mm.
You know, and I'm like, that's not Catwoman.
No, it was Lee Merriweather.
Yeah, she should go back to starring in strange movies with Under the Sea or
Hello Down There.
Hello Down There
with Roddy McDowall.
Tony Randall.
She wasn't in that, Martin.
Apparently.
You know, it's funny. The most classic scene in that is where he's running around with the big bomb, and he's trying to get rid of a bomb. And you know, there's like the nuns and the marching band and like little ducks. And what's the famous line? Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb, or something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like that's what. Oh my gosh, what the heck is his name? I should know this. Tom Cruise. I feel like that's what Tom Cruise is saying right now.
Ooh. Hey, let's talk favorite Batman 66 episodes. Anybody have one that stands out?
The Bookworm
with Roddy McDowell.
Francine York. You remember Roddy McDowell or whatever. I remember Francine York.
Okay.
In that red jumpsuit.
For when it came to the girls, Donna Lauren, when she was up with Cesar Romero, she played the cheerleader. Remember where they're putting the... going to the milk machine and all the money would come out, and that was making like the kids turn into juvenile delinquents.
Anything with Batgirl.
Yvonne Craig in the third season. That's my favorite season. Yeah. I think my favorite episode was a two-parter with Julie Newmar's Catwoman and Leslie.
What do you mean a two-parter? They were all two-parters. Jeez Louise.
There's a few three-parters.
Okay.
And then the Yvonne Craig ones were usually done in one episode. But it was Julie Newmar, and her sidekick was played by Leslie Gore, who played Pussycat in the little pink leotard. And she sang California Nights. Was the song she sang in that episode. So, she tried to be really, really into Burt Ward, but Leslie Gore was gay, so she was probably more into Julie Newmar.
I don't have a specific favorite episode because, like, I don't remember any of them. But I do enjoy Return to the Batcave.
I've never seen that one.
Where they play themselves using their knowledge of the series that they filmed to help them solve a crime. It was pretty funny.
Now, of course, what's really sad, I own these, is the Legends of the Superhero TV specials. Yeah. Did you guys see that? So it was Adam West and Burt Ward, and it's so horrible to see Burt Ward like as a 35-year-old man playing Robin. And it had, they paired them up with the Justice League. So you had Hawkman, Flash, Hal Jordan, Captain Marvel, Black Canary, and oddly enough, the Hunters.
Yeah.
Was the other role. And then the villains is they had...
Solomon Grundy.
Frank Gorshin played the Riddler.
The wizard from Captain Marvel.
No, it was Savannah.
No, there was a wizard, too.
That was Mordue from Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah, but he was a big... wasn't he Captain Marvel villain, too, at the time back then?
No, Savannah was a Captain Marvel villain. Weather Wizard. And wasn't he played by the guy from WKRP in Cincinnati? The guy played Herb Tarlick.
I can't remember.
I think he plays the weather wizard in it. And Giganta and the Atom were in the second one. They did guest appearances where they were with Ed McMahon. Ed McMahon's in that episode. And there was a female villain, but I can't remember who she was. But anyways, these specials were just, they were made by Hanna-Barbera, and they were just...
Well, they were horrible because they were cashing in on the whole roast craze.
Dean Martin roast. Yeah.
Celebrity roast. So that was the format of it. And I mean, nobody gives a crud about roasts that likes comic book characters and superheroes. And everybody who liked roasts sure as heck didn't care about Solomon Grundy and Ed McMahon. It was just a horrible...
It was terrible.
It was just dumb.
It was terrible. But it was cool to see some of those characters, like Hawkman. Hawkman was in it, and seeing him for live action for the first time. You only ever seen characters like Green Lantern, The Flash, Black Canary, you know. It was cool to see all them. And some of the villains, as I said, Sinestro, he was one of the villains. But he didn't have a red face. Yeah, he was like orange. something. Like I say, they put like orange tan on them or something. But yeah, I, you know, there was a while there, wasn't there? Was also a while in the 90s after the where Adam West would actually show up at appearances in his Batman costume.
Oh, it was not just the 90s. It was like into the 70s and stuff. He would show up as in car shows and boat shows, dressed up as Batman.
But what happened in the 90s is he, because of the trademark with Warner Brothers and then making the Tim Burton movie, he was no longer permitted to do that. And I remember that really upset him. Like, there was a lot in the news there. He was just really burnt by that, that he couldn't do that. Because as far as he was concerned, he was Batman. And we all laughed at him at the time for it. But now we look at it, and he was Batman. Like, he was. Who else was he? Well, except for Adam West, you know?
Yeah.
I like the fact that he, just like Dan said, he never took himself seriously. Look at the work he did on The Family Guy. It was almost as iconic as the work he did at Batman. And to the point that when I met him, you could get him to sign a picture of him from Family Guy. It was $20 cheaper than if you got him to sign and autograph as Batman.
Well, that's, I mean, he played himself on that show, right? Mm-hmm. Too. I don't know how much of a, like, did they just say, okay, go with it? Like, because he was Mayor Adam West, right? Mm-hmm. So he was kind of playing himself, but I wonder how much ad lib he did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I posted a video on my Facebook page. I know you saw, Dan, of him in the 1999 black comedy, Drop Dead Gorgeous, where he basically plays himself, and it's, the idea is that this beauty pageant has to get a host, so they get the biggest celebrity they can get, and all they can get is Adam West. And that's the joke, that he's the best they can get, but he just runs with it, and it's hilarious, because I don't think he had a huge ego. I think he was just, you know, a fun guy.
Well, any ego that he possibly could have had was beaten the heck out of him by being typecast.
Sure.
You know, you get a little humble when you can't get a job in acting.
Right. But anyways, I thought it was really cool what they did in L.A., putting the, you know, I saw quite a few pictures of that today. And they chose the building from the Batman TV series to shine it on, which was pretty awesome. Paul Dini posted a photo, went down and saw it, and posted a photo today on Facebook.
Did they advertise that?
Yeah.
Well, that's a bit of a spoiler. Wouldn't it have been better if you just walked down the sidewalk and you would have seen the light?
You know, it's not a spoiler. So how about we talk about the Chapter House news?
Yes.
Okay.
Chapter House comics. You going or am I going?
You can go.
All right. Jay Baruchel, comic geek and actor. You must know who Jay Baruchel is.
No idea.
I guarantee you if we showed you a picture, you'd be like, that kid.
I saw a picture of him on Facebook and I didn't know who
without
he was.
The mustache.
I don't know who he is.
He was in Goon. He wrote Goon, actually.
Okay.
He was in...
He does the voice for How to Train Your Dragon. Does that help?
Cartoon?
No.
I haven't seen The Goon or How to Dragon.
How can you not have seen How to Train Your Dragon? That's right up your wheelhouse. That's a great cartoon.
All right. Well, I'll download it.
Anyways, out all about it. I guarantee you that if you saw more pictures of him than just that one publicity shot, you'd be like, oh, okay. I've seen that kid hanging out with Seth Rogen all the time.
And his voice is very distinct.
I don't think I've ever seen a Seth Rogen movie.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
Anyways, let's just talk about the news.
So, anyways, Jay Baruchel, Canadian, big Hollywood actor. He has joined as an investor and has purchased an ownership stake in Chapter House Comics.
That's
Chapter
awesome.
House Publications. So what this means is a nice influx of cash. He's going to be the chief creative officer, and apparently already in the Captain Canuck number one that's coming out, there's been some design changes and stuff that are his influence. He's huge in Hollywood. He's making movies and stuff. He, like I said, he executive produced Goon. He wrote it and everything. So now all of a sudden the live-action Captain Canuck movie is like really skyrocketing in terms of
possibilities. Cool. Even I think that's cool.
And it's just bringing a lot of enthusiasm to it because, and I love Chapter House. Don't get me wrong. You guys are fantastic. I'm glad that you're the largest Canadian publisher and it's great. But my problem with the company is it seems to be a part-time endeavor. So the emphasis, like, you know, fatty, great guy, he's a restaurateur and an investor, you know. The other guys that are involved, you know, George used to be involved in Silver Snail and stuff. I know now he's not anymore. He's retired from that. But it just seems like it was a part-time thing as opposed to being a full-time run publishing house. It was just a side project. So as a result, you know, shipping schedules slipped, deadlines slipped, books were late, books were unsolicited, books weren't, you know, advertised well, and as a result, the pre-orders were low. But that's also on us fans for not pre-ordering the books, too. So, you know, I'm not taking, not dissing them completely. But this really brings a lot of enthusiasm, new money, somebody who's going to be jumping up and down as a cheerleader for Chapter House. And it's going to open up new markets and bigger markets. And, you know, if somebody says that, hey, these Canadian guys here from Toronto are coming out with a comic book, it's like, okay. Jay Baruchel, Hollywood actor and writer and producer and friend to, you know, has come out with this comic book. It's a cachet. It's nice. So,
well, I think that sounds great. I didn't understand the excitement about it, but now I do.
Yeah.
And I think I would go see a Captain Canuck movie. I would see a Captain Canuck movie over a Captain America movie more out of curiosity. And I wonder if there's Americans out there that would feel the same way. No, you're saying no.
They're so red, white, and blue. They just don't want to listen to anything. You know, they're not everybody.
Rid of one color.
Not everybody. Like, there is, you know, that's a stereotype. But I'm pretty confident that the majority of people in Tennessee couldn't care less about a Captain Canuck movie. You might find a few, but the majority of them. I mean, how many people in Georgia are begging for Captain Canuck number one season three? You know. Meanwhile, the rest of us here in Ontario are like, when is this comic coming? We got to have this comic. You know, so it's just a numbers game. But
this
it's
could also mean
right?
A pitiful human lizard movie. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like,
or even better yet, a TV series.
Did you see the advertisement was out for the Montreal con? Yes. Jason Luce got his picture, and you know how he's got his hands on his forehead, and he's like looking listfully the side. Well, they put his picture right beside Jay Baruchel's. So it almost looks like Jason's going gaga googie eyes over Jay. Because, you know, he's like, oh. So even that's Jason great. Was, like, joking about that.
You know,
on
if CBC will do, like, a really kick-ass new Anna Green and the Gables series that, by the way, has amassed a cult following in the States, I could see them also doing a pitiful human lizard.
Oh, there you go.
That would make a great TV series.
We are so close to being out of time. You got, like, about 45 seconds. When are you going?
I got nothing.
You got nothing? Well, then we're going to play the outro theme, and then we're going to let the next guys in. Right, thanks, everybody, joining us here today, and we'll see you next week.
Later.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?